Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu. Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. In 2001, Kitty Dukakis, wife of former Massachusetts governor and 1988 Democratic presidential nominee Michael Dukakis, underwent electroshock therapy. Shock therapy sounds scary, and its long history is a little scary, not to mention those images of the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. But for some patients, other treatments just don't work. Kitty Dukakis says shock therapy gave her life back. Now she and her husband are working to destigmatize the treatment and support those in need. This hour on Point, Kitty and Mike Dukakis share their story of shock and recovery. You can join us on air or online. Have you tried this treatment? Did it work? Why is it still so hard to talk about mental illness? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from the UCLA studio in Los Angeles is Kitty Dukakis, former First Lady of Massachusetts, wife and mother of three. She's an outspoken advocate for mental health awareness and treatment. And she's co-author with Larry Tye of the 2006 book, Shock, The Healing Power of Electroconvulsive Therapy. Kitty Dukakis, welcome to On Point. How nice to have you.
How lovely to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. And with her in the studio in UCLA, her husband, Michael Dukakis, former Massachusetts governor and presidential candidate. He now teaches at UCLA and at Northeastern University here in Boston. Governor Dukakis, welcome to you as well.
Good to be with you.
So, Kitty, what a journey you've had. Thank you for your courage and your willingness to talk about this with us. You've had a lifelong struggle with depression. Self-medicated with alcohol, with diet pills when you were quite young. Walk us through this, if you will. When did your depression begin, and how bad did it get?
Well, I've been free of depression since I started ECT, and that's about 20-something years ago. And as I talked about in the book, I had some anxiety, as everybody does, with a new treatment, whether it's a new prescription drug or an over-the-counter drug. I was a little bit apprehensive, but I was very fortunate in being one of the early ones, that is, somebody who had a reaction immediately to the very first treatment, and that doesn't often happen.
Meaning it went away. Your depression went away,
yeah,
right away.
Not totally, but it was certainly something I could handle, and I went back and had more treatment, short bouts of treatment of ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, and I'm feeling very much better, and we're spending our 24th year in Los Angeles, 3 months here.
Winter, yeah.
Yeah, and we had a glorious day yesterday with 70
degrees. Don't rub it in, Kitty. Come on now.
Sorry.
Don't rub it in.
Yeah.
So I want to get into the details of ECT, but first take us back a little bit, because I think people need to understand the severity of what you were going through to understand how great you're doing now. You've talked about and written about what those early days were like.
Right.
When you—
And I'm happy to read this. I've been asked to read from the book, which I'm more than happy to do.
Okay.
Though I paraphrased a bit, and let me just add at the outset, this was 10 years ago. That's a lifetime for certain diseases. And so there are changes, and I will paraphrase a bit from my own writing. when I read this. So shall I start with that?
Well, you know what? Let me get to that in a minute, because I'd like you to tell us what those days were like when you were drinking, when you were self-medicating. You talked about how you'd see your husband off to work, and then you'd start drinking, and you'd retreat to your room, and you'd pass out. What were those days like for you?
Well, they were horrendous. And one of the things that I have found is that there are many people who suffer with profound depression who turn to alcohol because other drugs and prescriptions and so forth do not work. And so I was one of those people, not unusual. And it was abysmal. It was horrendous. And I was okay in between times, but when that depression hit, it just was very, very severe.
Mike, would you describe those times for us?
Well, Kitty, for no apparent reason, Jane, in her early 40s, began experiencing these recurring cycles of depression. And they would hit about every 8 to 9 months for no reason. I mean, they had nothing to do with anything. She was busy. She was active, doing lots of good things. But every time we'd hit that 8 or 9 month mark, she'd start going down. She was being treated. She had therapy. She must have taken 5 or 6 different antidepressants over that period of time, and nothing worked. And so for a three or four month period, she'd be in one of these deep, deep depressions. Then she'd kind of come out of them. And she'd be okay, Jane, for another 8 or 9 months. And then she'd go back in. And that happened for 17 years until somebody said, why don't you see Charlie Welch, Dr. Welch at the Massachusetts General Hospital? He's the ECT specialist. And she did. We did. And he's a wonderful guy and a great doctor and has become a good friend. And he showed us a tape of some of his patients and their experiences. And Kitty was at the end of her rope, and so she said at that time, look, when it happens again, I want to have this treatment. And it just so happened, Shane, that I had a couple of speeches to make in Barcelona, of all places, and we decided to tack on 5 days in Paris. And I thought we were having a great time, and Kitty was starting to go down again. And we got back to Boston, and she was so shaky the night before her first treatment with ECT, that she didn't trust herself to come home and asked Dr. Welch to hospitalize her. So I didn't take her to the Mass General. She was there, and I arrived about 9 o'clock in the morning to pick her up. And the first treatment had ended the depression like that. My smiling, charming, lovely wife was back. And as I think she said this in the book, we were driving up Star Road Drive. It was the 20th of June, our wedding anniversary. And Kitty said, let's go to dinner. I said, are you serious? And she said, well, it's our anniversary, isn't it? And we went off to dinner that night to celebrate our anniversary. She continued to cycle. So 8 or 9 months later, she started going down. But this time she recognized it. And so for the first year or two, she would have 5 or 6 treatments. And she'd be fine, only to begin to go back into a depression in 8 or 9 months. And finally, Dr. Welch decided to put her on what is called ECT maintenance. So she now has a treatment about every 6 weeks. She's totally off of medication.
6 or 7 or 8.
Fair.
Okay.
And now has them at McLean Hospital, where Dr. Welch is. And she's been fine for years as a result of this, and because of her experience, obviously, has now become an advocate.
Dr. Welch is here, and we'll speak with him after the break. Kitty, tell us about your treatment. What is it like to have electroconvulsive therapy?
After so many years now, and it's close to 20-plus years, I hardly feel the needle going in for the electricity that I have minutes later, for ECT, for electroconvulsive therapy. And I'm asleep within a very short time. I see my doctor beforehand, Dr. Welch, and if I have any questions about anything, I can talk to him then, but I usually, if I have questions, I will talk to him before my treatment. And I'm awake, I guess, within 45 minutes or half hour. And
are there any physical manifestations for the treatment?
You know, it's so hard to remember two decades later. I mean, I do remember feeling a bit foggy when I first woke up. These days, I'm able to lecture after I've had an ACT treatment. So
there are no side effects.
I'm tired, and I often sleep for an hour or two, but the initial feelings are just very minor for me. I had a little bit of memory loss, but that is not an issue and not a problem now.
Have you come to terms with the idea, Kitty Dukakis, that you will need to do this treatment, electroconvulsive therapy, for the rest of your life? Do you ever think, I'm doing fine, I don't need to keep doing this?
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say I'm doing fine that definitively. However, if I have to do this for the rest of my life, and I am just turned 80, so that does not bother me, that does not trouble me. And it is, for me, right now, a benign treatment. And I know that it will help my mood if I am feeling a little down. And that's about it.
Governor Dukakis, why do you think this treatment is so reviled? I mean, you know, the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Jack Nicholson and the whole thing, but why do you
Jane, yeah. That was then. It's certainly not the case now.
Right. Very different. Was that an accurate representation of this treatment?
Then.
At the time? Well, back in the 40s and 50s, it was a very tough treatment. But it's been refined and improved. It's totally painless, Jane. I mean, it's totally painless. When the needle goes in, Kitty is getting anesthesia. And so she's not aware of the treatment taking place. Dr. Welch will tell you about this, but the number of people getting ECT these days has increased dramatically. I think Kitty's example and her advocacy have had something to do with that. But the fact of the matter is that while for some people medication is very helpful and for other people therapy is helpful, a very large percentage of folks who suffer from severe depression get no relief from these treatments, and that's why ECT is just so important.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're speaking with Mike and Kitty Dukakis this hour about electroshock therapy and why they want to get the word out about this important treatment. You can join the conversation. What did you hear in Kitty and Michael's 17-year journey before they tried shock therapy? What has worked for you? My guests this hour, Kitty and Michael Dukakis. He's former governor of Massachusetts and the 1988 Democratic presidential candidate. She's former First Lady of Massachusetts and a mental health advocate. She is speaking openly about her electroshock treatments for debilitating depression. Kitty, you have said that you used to deny the early signs of your depression. And now you call your doctor as soon as you spot the gathering clouds. I love that phrase.
They don't gather very much recently. So I have maintenance ECT, which means that I have a treatment, as Michael said just a while ago, every 6, 7, or 8 weeks.
So you write about the stigma attached to this, not only ECT, but the stigma attached to depression and mental illness. Would you read that from the book?
Right.
I love this.
Silence is an old story, as Jane, you and I just said, for the mentally ill, and what I wrote about in my book with Larry Tye. Most would not hesitate to tell family, friends, and even bosses if they had cancer or diabetes. Yet they rightfully worry about being branded defective to having to... if they are undermined in depression on a manic high, or worse still, listening to voices that only a schizophrenic can hear. While understanding about mental illness is on the rise, the shame remains when the preferred treatment is ECT. It remains, and I'm going to paraphrase what I just said, remains sometimes.
So why do you think that is? Why do you think in this day and age we still have trouble talking about depression, about mental illness, well, about the treatments for it?
Yeah, I think probably the movie was fundamentally the largest negative factor for many people because they didn't know anything else and they didn't know any better. And Dr. Welch has been a mainstay in our country and in the world, really, for this treatment and has helped erase so many of those old attitudes and negative feelings.
Michael Dukakis, you actually had experience with electroconvulsive therapy with your brother. Tell us right. about that.
Well, this was way back in the 50s. We were very, very close. He was 3 years older than I was. Was a good student at Bates College. Was the best two-mile runner in the state of Maine. Broke up with a girl and all of a sudden had what in those days, Jane, we called a nervous breakdown. And there weren't a lot of medications. And in his case, therapy didn't work very well. And so he was hospitalized and actually had the old 1950s form of shock treatment. And sadly, he never really recovered. I mean, he got back on track, went back to school, graduated, and went to work and so forth. But he was never the same again. And I think that has something to do with the fact that in those days, we really didn't know a lot, not only about ECT, but about how to treat mental illness generally. So I and my parents had that experience.
And so given that outcome, were you reluctant for Kitty to try it?
I wasn't at all because it was so obvious that whatever was happening wasn't working. The medication just simply didn't work. She had therapists who were very good people, but the therapy didn't seem to work. And we were really at the end of our rope. When a doctor at the Mass General said to us, you really ought to see Charlie Welch, and we did, met with him, and it didn't take Kitty 10 minutes to conclude that if this happened again, and she assumed it would, that she would go to Dr. Welch and try the treatment. And, of course, as I explained, the results were just dramatic.
Let me bring in
have been dramatic.
Let me bring in Dr. Charles Welch, a psychiatrist at McLean Hospital's Electroconvulsive Therapy Services in Belmont, Massachusetts. He is Kitty Dukakis' psychiatrist. Dr. Welch, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Jane.
Obviously had such tremendous impact in the lives of the Dukakis's and many others. Tell us first how ECT actually works on the brain. What happens during the treatment?
ECT is simply intentionally inducing a grand mal seizure under very controlled circumstances. We don't understand why that is a therapeutic event, but what's clear is that the seizure is the effective component of the treatment. The electrical stimulus is simply a safe way of triggering a grand mal seizure.
And so who's a good candidate for ECT and who isn't?
Anyone with depression that has not gotten better with medication should carefully consider ECT. This is the most effective treatment in psychiatry. The problem is that depression is a worldwide problem at this time of great importance. The World Health Organization ranks depression as second only to cardiovascular disease as in its global disease burden.
And an illness that is completely treatable.
Yes, exactly. And the second thing is that only 70% of people who have depression get better with medication. Antidepressant medications have come a long way, but there is still a large number of people who are unable to get well on medication. And for them, the only effective treatment is ECT.
So ECT is not a one-and-done procedure, right, as we heard Kitty Dukakis' case. How often are the treatments, and is there a limit to how many are safe?
It's typically done in a series of treatments administered either twice a week or three times a week. The initial phase of it is at that frequency until we establish a remission of the symptoms.
So it's not a cure. It's more like a stopgap sort of measure.
Well, for some people, it induces a full remission of their illness. For others, it may get them feeling better, but then we have to deal with relapse on a fairly frequent basis. But for most people, ECT induces a 100% remission of their symptoms of depression.
So just give us a little bit of the history, doctor. It was developed in 1938, and as we say, back then there was no anesthesia. The electrical current was much stronger. Patients convulsed quite violently, right? It's very, very different today.
Right. It was a violent experience in those days. Fortunately, we've refined it significantly. Today, when someone has an ECT treatment, it's generally done in either a clinic or a hospital department that specializes in this treatment. It's done with an anesthesiologist administering the anesthesia and the psychiatrist overseeing the actual treatment. The patient receives a short-acting sleeping medication that puts them to sleep for about 5 minutes. And while they're asleep and relaxed with both a sleeping medication and a muscle relaxant, the treatment itself is given. We place one small metal disc on the right temple and one small metal disc at the top of the head. We then administer about an 8-second low-intensity electrical stimulation to the patient's head. This triggers a grand mal seizure, an epileptic seizure. The seizure is a synchronous activation of the brain 3 times per second. It's an analogy that we sometimes use is it's like if every light bulb in New York City was going on and off 3 times per second at exactly the same instance. That's kind of like what a seizure is in the brain. We don't understand how that has a therapeutic effect. What's clear is that that's what resets brain physiology back to normal.
I want to get a couple of calls in here, but Kitty Dukakis says she didn't have many side effects, maybe some memory loss, but for some, there are side effects?
Yes. The most problematic side effect with ECT is its effect on memory function. The majority of people who have ECT get some difficulty with short-term memory. That usually clears up within 2 to 4 weeks of the last treatment. Other people sometimes have more severe memory deficit. And that's one of the problems involved with ECT that we're working hard to try to solve.
Let's get Stephen in here from Columbia, Missouri. Stephen, welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
I've been underneath ECT treatment for the last 3 years. And it has saved my life. And one of the unfortunate things is friends, neighbors, the general public do not understand the positive nature of ECT. They immediately think of that aforementioned movie, The One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that Mr. and Mrs. Dukakis are out there talking about this today.
Stephen, thanks so much. Good luck to you. Let me get Bill in here from Lincoln, Illinois. Hi, Bill. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi there. So glad to call and glad to talk to both Michael and Kitty Dukakis. Honestly, you were the first presidential candidate I had the chance to vote for, and I sure wished you hadn't rode that tank. But on a more serious note, my sister-in-law has suffered for years with very, very serious manic depression. And at her worst, you know, she didn't recognize my brother anymore and thought they were out to get her and hid in somebody's stranger's car in a parking lot. The police had to be called. It was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And they got her into ECT, and she's stable now. You know, she's stable now. She can function and operate, and there are side effects. She can't hold a 40-hour a week job anymore. Mm-hmm. So my brother has to basically take care of her. But to go from the chasm of having someone not recognize you anymore and hiding in a stranger's car in a parking lot to this is
Quite amazing.
It's night and day different.
Yeah. Bill, thank you. I'm glad you called. Thank you. Governor Dukakis, I have talked to people who have had electroconvulsive therapy, and they describe it as a treatment of last resort. You don't see it that way, and I wondered if you'd tell us about that.
Well, I'll be happy to comment, although I think Dr. Welch probably is a better person to comment on this. There is this notion that you try everything before you try ECT. I think Dr. Welch will tell you, and other psychiatrists will tell you, that that's probably not the right approach. I think these other forms of treatment should be tried, Jane. But if after 6 months or 9 months or a year they're not working, I think most responsible psychiatrists will say to you, it's time for ECT. Waiting for 17 years, as Kitty did, really made no sense at all. And I often think back and say to myself, supposing she had had a chance to meet with Dr. Welch after, say, a year, a year and a half or two of this ongoing periodic depression, think of the pain that would not have been there, and you know, her own difficulty, and all of us, because we were pulling for him. You know, I mean, I'm an inveterate optimist. I mean, I think there's always, you know, you can always make it better, right? And even I was getting a little discouraged. It shouldn't take 17 years to figure this out.
Dr. Welch, should ECT be considered earlier in the treatment cycle?
Generally, yes, in the United States. I think that we tend to be too conservative in the use of ECT in this country. We see so many patients who come to us with this kind of history of having suffered for decades with an inadequately treated depression. I don't think that there's any other country that is doing better. I think this is a worldwide problem. We are simply not being aggressive enough in intervening therapeutically in the lives of people with depression.
Another call here from Paul in Hamden, Connecticut. Hi, Paul. You're on the air. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I received ECT back in 2005 when I was in San Antonio, Texas, and I had difficulty with it because of the memory loss. It was distressing to me to be reintroduced to people who I, you know, supposedly had met previously, and to have that experience. But what I had was improperly diagnosed bipolar disorder, and eventually when I moved up to the Boston area in 2007, I met with a colleague of Dr. Welch. I don't know if she's still there at MGH, but Astrid DeRosier, who finally was able to get me on the right medication and was able to get me treated in the right fashion. Mm.
So it didn't work for Paul. Dr. Welch, thank you very much for your call. Paul, it doesn't work for everyone.
Yes, it sometimes it offers a partial relief from depression, and sometimes it offers no relief. And we can't be sure about how someone's going to respond to ECT other than to simply give it a try. If we were too exclusive, then we would be turning a lot of people away. So anyone who seems to have a reasonable chance of treatment, we certainly support their decision to have the treatment.
You're at McLean Hospital, as I mentioned, one of the world's largest and most renowned psychiatric hospitals. How many ECT treatments are you doing each year?
We do about 50 treatments for each treatment day. And I've never added that up to an annual total, but week after week, it's clearly thousands of patients. We are one of the largest ECT services in the country. One of the good things that we've seen over the last decade is the proliferation of smaller ECT centers throughout the United States who are practicing at a very high standard of care. This has been a real success story.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Rocket Mortgage provides a transparent online process that helps you understand all the details of your home loan. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you get the right mortgage solution for you. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We are speaking this hour with Kitty Dukakis and Michael Dukakis about Kitty's struggle with depression and how electroshock therapy has helped her. You can join the conversation. Has depression overtaken your life? Are you trying to overcome the stigma? You can follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Also with me here in the studio, Dr. Charles Welch, psychiatrist at McLean Hospital's Electroconvulsive Therapy Services. Here is 1988 Democratic presidential nominee Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis, lost the general election to Vice President George H.W. Bush. Listen back here for a moment to a bit from his concession speech.
Just a few minutes ago, I called Vice President Bush and congratulated him on his victory. And I know I speak for all of you and for all the American people when I say that he will be our president and we'll work with him. This nation faces major challenges ahead, and we must work together.
Governor Dukakis, I just would like to ask you about what it was like for you all those years living with Kitty's depression. I think we underestimate the caregiver's role, the spouse's role. From the outside looking in, it's never easy. And I'm just curious, were you able to compartmentalize what was going on? How did you handle it? How did you pull off the public image of I've got it all together, I'm running for president, while all of this is happening at home?
Well, remember, she didn't reflect much of this during the campaign. In fact, she was a terrific campaigner. In fact, I've often said she should have run. She'd have won. And she was really dynamite on the campaign trail. It was only after the election that she then went into another depression. And so during the campaign itself, it wasn't that difficult. What was brutal, really, for all of us, and she particularly, were these years where we just couldn't get any answers. And my one frustration, frankly, is that I wish somebody who was part of her treatment world would have said to her a lot earlier than, in fact, a doctor at the Massachusetts General finally did say, please see Dr. Welch. You should seriously explore ECT. All of those, I mean, this long, long period for her and for us would have been totally unnecessary. But fortunately, we were introduced to Dr. Welch, and she did have the treatment, and she's been as remarkable as ever since. But when you love somebody as deeply as I love Kitty, and you're married to this bright, brainy, beautiful woman who for no apparent reason keeps going into this kind of thing, it's obviously, Jane, not only frustrating but maddening, especially if you're one of these guys as I am who thinks that there's always a solution out there someplace. You know, you just got to keep looking for it.
Dr. Welch, talk about the undertreatment of depression. You mentioned the World Health Organization says depression is second only to cardiovascular disease, right, in
Correct.
Its severity?
In global disease burden, yes.
And so what do we need to know from a psychiatrist about this condition?
That we in the United States are seriously under-treating depression. Depression is a physical illness. It's not clear exactly what structures of the brain are involved in which ways, but what's clear is that this is a physiologic illness that is very responsive to treatment. I see patient after patient who have either gone for years without any treatment at all, in spite of the fact that they've complained to their primary care physician that they're having symptoms of depression, or just as often they're getting treatment at doses of medication that are too low and ineffective. And so we need to take a fresh look at how we train medical students to recognize and treat depression. If you go to other countries, Sweden, India, you know, other countries are doing much better than we are.
There's much less stigma in other parts of the world where ECT is more commonly used.
Right. And in the United States, the stigma that goes along with depression is very unfortunate. Too often, people are ashamed of their symptoms, afraid to let people know of their symptoms, and they suffer for years with these debilitating symptoms of depression that are, ironically, completely treatable. Hmm.
Kitty Dukakis, talk about your advocacy work around this issue, about mental illness broadly and about ECT specifically. Why was it so important for you to come out on this, if you will?
Well, I was, at the time, a social worker. I had my degree in social work, and I felt very strongly that I had a role to play in helping other people. And I made that decision, along with Michael, that I would be open and public about my disease and about my treatment, and in that way help others who had been contemplating ECT.
And Jane, I must add to this, you know, I've been teaching at Northeastern now for 26 years, but out here in the winter quarter at UCLA for 24, and we're producing some terrific young people in this country, and it's my great good fortune to be able to teach them and encourage them to pursue careers in public service. But I'm seeing more psychological dysfunction these days among these young people. You know, it's so competitive. I mean, Northeastern University has 55,000 applications for 2,500 spots or 2,800 spots in the freshman class. So there's a lot of this competition, a lot of this pressure. And although I try to step in when I see it, and there's no question that my experience with Kitty has kind of emboldened me to do this because I recognize these symptoms, we still, as Charlie has pointed out, we still have an awful lot of young people out there that don't want to admit it, are embarrassed about it, and are not getting treatment. And that's particularly true, as you know, now with the military. And Kitty, one of the things that Kitty has been doing recently is working with the Veterans Administration, the Department of Veterans Affairs, to see if we can't get the VA to start introducing opportunities for ECT for these young men and women who are coming back from war and are suffering from PTSD and other kinds of psychological disorders, because you know the suicide rate among veterans is extremely high. And the VA has been, until recently, pretty reluctant to use ECT under circumstances where there seems to be a really compelling reason to do so.
Let me get Katie in here from Billerica, Massachusetts. Hi, Katie. You're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi. I have some personal observations and questions.
Please.
The observations are regarding my son, who was hospitalized for his second major depressive episode at 18 years of age. He had received, you name an antidepressant, he'd been on it, and the side effects are horrible. And he finally received ECT during his third hospitalization, and he had fabulous response. In first treatment, pretty minor side effects. It was so hard to get him in. Here's my question / comment. It seems that community-based psychiatrists prescribe medication after medication and don't provide access to ECT or TMS. I'd like to hear a little discussion about. And it seems that the only access is once you've hit rock bottom, you're hospitalized. How can access be improved?
Great question. Katie, thank you very much. Dr. Welch.
Point well taken, Katie. Our healthcare system is a 19th century healthcare system dealing with 21st century problems. We need to take a hard look in the mirror and streamline the referral system so that people like your son don't have to spend weeks, months, years, decades before they find themselves in an effective treatment program. So I think that we in the United States have to acknowledge that our healthcare system needs a lot of improvement in in mental health. I think we're really letting people down.
Katie,
and
thank you.
We also,
you.
Charlie.
Yes, Governor, go ahead.
Should point out, we also should point out, don't want to get too political here, but we've got a Congress and a new president seem to be on the verge of disinsuring some 20 or 25 million people without an alternative. ECT is included, Jane, in that coverage,
mm-hmm.
as a recognized treatment. So one of my hopes here is that before the Congress goes out and does something crazy or stupid, that they bear in mind the fact that for lots and lots of people suffering from severe mental illness and depression in particular, to cut them off from the benefits of the Affordable Care Act means they don't get treatment anymore. And I don't have to tell you what that means.
Let's go to Judy in Detroit. Hi, Judy. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hello. I wanted to talk about severe depression versus bipolar disorder and if the treatment is just as effective. And not only using alcohol, but my husband is using marijuana to self-medicate himself.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's talk about marijuana sometimes helping depression, but he is bipolar, and it is hereditary. His sister had ECT just for depression, and it was helpful, but he doesn't think it would help him because he's not depressed, he's bipolar, but I think it's the same thing. I'd just like to hear more about bipolar and marijuana as a self-medication instead of alcohol.
Got it. Judy, thank you. Dr. Welch.
First of all, depression and bipolar disorder, both are very responsive to ECT. We sometimes encounter patients who, with bipolar disorder, have a somewhat less brisk response to the treatment. But for most people with bipolar disorder, ECT is effective. And for some people, given the ravages of bipolar disorder, for some people, it's life-saving.
What about schizophrenia and some other mental health challenges on the spectrum?
There have been a number of very good studies looking at the effectiveness of ECT in schizophrenia. It's clear that not everybody with schizophrenia improves with ECT, but there are some patients who do, particularly patients who have what we refer to as an affective component. That is, that they, in addition to having psychotic symptoms, they have mood swings or severe depression. And for them, ECT can be dramatically effective.
Let's go to Deb in Houghton, Michigan. Hi, Deb. You're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you. And thank you, Jane, for saying ECT instead of shock therapy. Mm-hmm. Electroconvulsive therapy sounds much better to the average person on the street mm-hmm. than shock therapy.
Indeed.
I am a victim, excuse me, a recipient of ECT. I'm a 33-year history of bipolar. I received three treatments. A week later, I had almost a religious experience of the veil lifting. And after that, I was able to go back on oral antidepressants, and I'm fine today. And it wasn't supposed to work in just three treatments, but it did.
Sounds remarkable. Yeah.
When are we going to start calling mental health physical health and quit having two terms? Because mental health is electricity and chemistry, just like the rest of the body.
You're exactly right. Deb, thank you so much. I see the doctor shaking his head.
Let me respond to that.
Kitty, go ahead.
For a moment.
Uh-huh, please.
Yeah. I use the word shock in my book because it was suggested to me that people would not know what I was talking about. And that is an old term, and it's a negative term. And I, as often as I can today, and have more recently, use the expression ECT or electroconvulsive therapy.
Dr. Welch.
Yeah, no matter what you call it, it's clearly the most effective treatment that we have for depression. It's underutilized, and we should be using it significantly more frequently.
Let's go to Nashville. Brian is on the line. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the program. Thanks for waiting.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
My brother was a lieutenant in the Army, and just before getting shipped to Bosnia during the Herzegovina crisis, he got sick, went mentally ill, and fell into very deep depression, and was honorably discharged from the Army with 100%. The Army took 100% liability. He's been in and out of mental hospitals for the last 20 years. It's been complete heartbreak on my family. And just 2 days before Christmas, well, he's been in an assisted living home for the last 10 years, and just before Christmas, heard a voice and hit somebody and was taken to the VA again went on the third floor in the mental ward, and 2 days before Christmas, treated for the first time with ECT.
Mm. And sounds like he's doing better, huh?
It's terrifying, but yeah, it's been a huge heartbreak. And
Brian, I thank you for your call. I'm going to cut you off because I'm almost out of time here, and I want to get Kitty and Michael back in, but I do appreciate your call from Nashville. Governor Dukakis, Kitty Dukakis, you hold support groups in your home for ECT. You've got a website for this treatment. You're trying to persuade the Department of Veterans Affairs to make this procedure more accessible. You're doing so much. What's your hope with this campaign? What would you leave us with today?
Well, I hope we're listening to Dr. Charles Welch, who is my extraordinary doctor and treats thousands of people, has treated thousands of people. And we need to provide this treatment to people who are suffering and not have years of pain and suffering attached to their stories. This treatment is available. It is available not only in places like McLean and other mental health centers, but also to community hospitals where in California, we know that community hospitals are serving this particular disease with ECT successfully.
Governor Dukakis, you must be so proud of your wife.
Well, I am, Jane, and particularly the fact that she is reaching folks. But I hope we'll listen carefully to Dr. Welch's words, because we still aren't using the treatment as often and as effectively as we should. And people are suffering as a result of it. So I hope with our words today and others and the kind of work that you're doing that we're going to make this treatment much more available to a lot of folks, because it's the difference between suffering and good health and in some cases surviving. And Kitty's a great example of its effectiveness.
Kitty and Michael Dukakis, thank you so much for your honesty, for your courage. Really appreciate you being here with us today.
Well, it's been our pleasure to be with you.
And Dr. Charles Welch, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Jane Clayson. This is On Point.